still unfair. Luke 7 to start with. Verse 16, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, up among us, and that God had visited his people. Let's go to Ephesians 5. We're almost done with fear. No, let's not go there. Let's go to Psalm 23.
A little confession to work on.
What?
A little confession.
Okay.
Making my little comment to you kind of made bother me a little bit. And then the fear topic was said, and I was thinking about fear, and I think part of my fear is fear of self. Knowing how I might be and how I am, I don't want to. I think that's why I become responding real quick to things, because if I wait, then my mind just takes me over and just sucks in, and I close up, and then I can't even hear. So that little exchange between you and I kind of revealed that to me. Probably not fear of God, it's fear of being consumed by my own way I am, my own mind, and its propensity to shut down and then be an accuser and whatever else it is.
But that's really fear of God.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. That's how it operates.
Remember, what reverential fear in terms of God means is that you become so acquainted with his will and his heart that you would do nothing to offend him. And all that the self can do is offend him. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So any activity of your mind is an offense to him. And that's, you have the fear of God.
Yeah.
So that's a good confession.
Well, I'm glad I said it, because I would have walked out of here thinking it was all self for self. But I just know who.
But you
I
understand
am.
Now.
Yeah, I do, and I appreciate it. I'm glad I said it. Josanna, would you take that little microphone? And put it
it's
on?
Fine.
You're all right.
As long as Josanna doesn't knock it off.
Well, I had some fur. I was telling Holy this morning, I had a dream of using drugs, heroin, and fur came up on me about drug use, alcohol, something like that.
What's this like, same thing?
Well, what I told Ronnie is that your dreams, you're since after the fall we have, you know, supposedly the conscious and subconscious, they have to somehow be resolved. They have to come into balance in some way. And that's what dreams are. And so your conscious mind probably desires drugs. Or not probably, it does. But your subconscious, which is where the pineal body is antithesis of that. It doesn't want. And so somehow there had to be a resolution of that, and that's what the dream was. But it's in confession that it becomes even more in balance. Confess your fault one to another, and you shall be healed. Amen? Okay, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If if you knew nothing except that, you would be in him and walking as a disciple. I shall not want. And the reason you shall not want is the Lord is your shepherd, and he will provide whatever is needed for you to be conformed to the image of Christ. But the minute your mind enters in, then you have left that inertial guidance system of the way. And so that's why abandonment and taking no thought has to be the commonality. It has to be, it's not something you do periodically. It's something that it's a way of life. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's the idyllic thing for the lamb or for the sheep, which the type is here. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. When I screw up, the blood of Christ cleanses me from all unrighteousness. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness, the hodos, the way, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And remember, evil is anything other than the way. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now that's the dumbest thing that your mind could ever understand. How could exhortation and suffering, if you will, comfort you? Well, as a believer, you'll know that. You understand?
Yeah, that's the vehicle of
revelation. Confirmation.
Yeah, confirmation of the fact that you're covered, you're protected.
Thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of mine enemies. In other words, you always have something to eat. It doesn't have anything to do with anyone else because you're consuming the blood and the flesh of the Son of Man as your only worth and your only sustenance and your only satisfaction. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. John and I wrote a last word about the cup runneth over. The whole nature of man is to continue to try to make your cup larger so that by self-realization you make your cup larger. It doesn't matter whether it's material things or even knowledge of God or knowledge in general. And you keep trying to make your cup larger and larger and larger. And so you never have anything to give. If you give, you're giving from the wrong end. So that's why it's so critical that you pay no attention to your mind, because your mind is always wanting more and more and more to make the cup larger. But satisfaction and peace and joy come from the smaller, the smaller, the smaller cup. Everybody understand that?
Yeah, if you think of yourself as the vessel, it's like if you want to change the vessel to make it better or more whatever, you know, that's the same idea. It's
Amen.
Like you have to be satisfied with peace.
Amen.
Just the way you are, and then you that's when you see it's running over and running over.
Yeah, and then in that case, what it also means that your works will never lead you. Your works will always follow you just by being in him. You don't decide all these great and wonderful plans and everything that's going to make you think you're going to get well because of what you do. You see yourself as dead and rest in Him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Actually, it says, and instead of follow, that should say pursues. Goodness and mercy is pursuing me, but I won't sit down so it can catch me. I keep running for more and more options and more things and more stuff for self-realization and more everything to satisfy your lusts. Surely goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the only house of the Lord is the New Jerusalem, on the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim. So, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not fear. If there's the slightest fear, Father, forgive me. Everybody understand that? What, Gary? Your gears are running so hard I can even hear them.
I'm a little sheep following my master, and a wolf jumps out. And I'm just thinking that that's just typological.
And there's no fear.
Yeah, it's a sudden.
No sudden fear.
If you are so in Him, then it's not like your carnal self will activate and express fear, but there's a security that's beyond self, and you won't even be shocked or surprised or startled.
Amen.
And that's a place, that's a position.
Keep thinking about Harry and I in the desert. Everything in this damn desert is trying to hurt me.
Harry.
Remember, I found there was a mesquite tree on this wadi or wash there. And under the mesquite tree, there was looked like a place of sitting. And so, but it was really the shale with the sharp edges. Someone went over and found a place where it wasn't sharp, sat down, and then Harry said, "Oh, finally some shade." And he came over and sat down
on the sharp shale.
On the sharp shale. And that's when he jumped up. I didn't really. I may have done that on purpose.
Probably.
What?
Probably did.
I might have.
Yeah.
Even without
knowing. Okay, Ephesians 5. Verse 14. Wherefore he saith, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." In other words, that what that means is you never leave empty. You never leave abandonment of self. For any reason. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. How do you redeem the time? What does that mean?
Restore? Redeeming?
You have, because the seventh angel has sounded within you and says, since you're seated on the mercy seat, then you are now complete in Him. You've been perfected by one offering, and time is no longer necessary. You've redeemed the time by being out of time. Now this is the biggie. Time is that great bastard. that constantly deceives you. What if? What about? There are no what ifs or what about in the mercy seat. Preston Jones was a playwright in Dallas. He won a Pulitzer, no, he didn't win the Pulitzer Prize. Don Coburn didn't. But Preston wrote the Texas Trilogy. And he and I became very good friends, but he made fun of me all the time. But he's the one that coined this thing that time is the great bastard of the universe. And he wasn't even a believer. Remember, he's the guy that invented the theology. It was Frank Christ, Jesus' older brother. He was all upset, which, it's a long story, I won't go there. All right, continuing.
Here, all the crap of time, statement, it's redeemed. It's given its proper value.
Right, you give it no breath.
Because, and now you don't need to anymore, and that's the redemption. You've
right.
Seen.
You're not never again trying to redeem yourself by
and
works.
What is redeem mean?
Well, it means, what does it mean? How can you...
Taken out of the trash.
Yeah, you've been you've been removed from the trash, the garbage disposal.
That's like what he said, bondage of self.
Bondage.
All right. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Where you understand what that means? The days are evil. It doesn't. That's not a philosophy. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine.
Excuse me.
Or cell phones. Be not drunk with wine. I'm not talking about drinking. I mean, they can be. Be not drunk with wine or drugs or whatever. But mostly it's the wine of Ephraim they're talking about always, which is the wine of self-seeking. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The fear of God is the mystery of, it's the only way of living. Again, the fear meaning that you so are in tune with Him that you would do nothing in thought, in word, or in deed that would offend Him. All right. Philippians.
I just had a thought on the days are evil. It's the days are evil because they're spent in self-seeking and revelation and getting better and looking for ways to improve. That's all.
Or thinking that process is necessary.
Where are we going?
Philippians 2. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being is not in the text. It says, who in the form of God thought it not robbery or something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Remember that phrase, made himself of no reputation, is one word in the Greek, kino. And it means total 100% emptying at all times. Never giving thought to anything. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. That's what it means to have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's to see yourself as dead and to see every single activity of the mind, whether it's emotions or whether it's thoughts, to see that is never once in your entire life been your friend. Its purpose is to keep you alone, isolated, without life. And if you don't know that by now, my God, what is it going to take for you to know that your mind is not to ever to be trusted? It cannot understand anything. It can't comprehend the mystery of God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. It is always at its core, ever and only, trying to cause you to be concerned with self and self-realization. That's its only purpose, because that is the fruit of the fall. And woe unto those who in the name of God sanctify self-realization. All right. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that is the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now that isn't going to happen. It is always happened. They're confessing it even though they don't know, and even though it appears to us they're doing the opposite. Because everything that has been created for the purpose of Jesus Christ. But it's that you should know that every knee is bowing and that every tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not time that's going to make it necessary. It is now. Wherefore, we said all that to say this. Wherefore, shut up. Who said that? Somebody laughed.
Where are we?
9:12. Yeah, we're 9. Wherefore, my beloved Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
What does that mean?
It means that by God, if I do anything other than walk in the fear of God, if the slightest instant of self comes into my life, then I know it and I confess instantly that I never again walk to satisfy myself, that I always see myself as a servant, that I never have any rights.
This is that you don't have a cop standing there correcting your behavior. This has to come out of your love of God, and if nobody's looking,
amen,
you do what you know is what He wants. Yeah.
That's why your true religion is revealed in the midnight hour, when everything is alone.
Yeah, I remember that saying, "Let your conscience be your guide." I guess it should be, "Let your abandonment be your guide."
Your conscience is another one of those stupid lies.
Let
your conscience be your guide. Your conscience, just that, all of hideous things you learn before you reach the age of reason from your parents. It's all of it was passing you through the fires of Molech. All right. One more. 1 Peter. It's just before 2 Peter, Ronnie. No.
All falling apart in one.
Yeah.
All right.
So much for your billboard Bible.
Verse 3.
Chapter 1.
Chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, or really said, has begotten us from above unto an alive hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. From Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept or garrisoned by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation or appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, faith is a dime a dozen. Faith is everywhere. You have to have faith to sit down. But the trial of faith is what's precious. Now, do you stand in the trial in him, or do you lean on your own arm of understanding to come to some solution? Okay. At the revelation or appearing or presence of Jesus Christ, in verse 8 now, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober in hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot, and without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Verse 17, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Amen? So that finishes our look on fear. Anybody have any thoughts about it?
That last part just made me think, 100 years from now, we'll all be gone. Probably less than that even.
Probably less than that.
I'll still be around. Yeah, no. I think 100 years from now, everything will be gone.
And it's like, what remains? We're all caught up in some of our little stuff and what's important and get this done, that done. But 50 years, it's gone. And what remains? This stuff, the hearing and the understanding, the word of God remains. And all the stuff that was important to everybody behind us means nothing now.
I lived my whole life fear, and now it's like, I don't have to do that.
Let's just be in the fear of God. The fear of God removes all other fear. The same thing.
It's a little, it says love casts out all fear. Mm-hmm. It's like this. Because all you're fearing is God.
And that's what I thought.
Anybody else? Mr. Bojo? Well, take it